I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. Don't tell the other podcasts. I should go.
Remember at my old apartment how I had the dog burglar?
Yep.
All right, I have another instance of animals trying to break into my apartment.
The hell is wrong with you? What kind of Stephen King bullshit are you always involved in?
My work area, like my desk, is fairly close to the front door.
Okay.
So it's the Monday after Halloween, which is also like the first day of daylight savings time. And it's towards the end of my work day, but it's like noticeably, again, because we've lost daylight. It's kind of like dark and spooky in my apartment because I am not one to like have lights on during the day because I'm the one that pays the bills. So you leave the lights off. So my front door has like a glass panel on it and then like a blackout curtain. So people can't really see in and I have to move the curtain to see out.
Okay.
So I'm sitting at my desk doing work. All of a sudden, Caden's laying on the floor next to me just like vibing. All of a sudden, Caden kind of stands up and walks over towards the front door and is like concerned. I'm like, okay. And then I hear what sounds like somebody like jiggling the doorknob. Like trying to get into the apartment. And like, this is very different than like hearing my neighbor unlocking her door. Like it's very obviously somebody's doing something to my door. So Caden looks at me and I look at him and I stand up and I'm like, grabbed a heavy object and was like, all right, well, I guess we're doing this. And then I peek out from behind the blackout curtain. I look down and there's a squirrel standing on my porch.
Jiggling the doorknob?
It sees me and it takes off running. And I'm like, okay, that was weird. But that's the only thing that I could think of. And it was like standing right next to the door. So obviously it was doing something next to the door. But I didn't open the door at the time. I just kind of was like, okay, that's stupid. Whatever. You know, I laughed and felt dumb that I like panicked about it and whatever. So I go a couple hours later because it's like in the evening at this point. Like I open my door to check the mail and I grab the mail from the mailbox and I try to close the door, but the door won't close all the way. Lo and behold, I look down and the squirrel had like shoved an acorn in the corner of the door.
Shut up. That didn't happen. This is.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
These squirrels aren't doing home invasions. What is going on?
I don't think he was trying to invade my home. I think he was trying to save a snack for later on during the winter and just decided that my door, question mark, was the best place to do that.
No, that's a way to get back in once you're not there.
Well, joke's on him. I threw the acorn out into the bushes and it's fine.
This is starting to sound like, what was that horror movie from a few years ago? It was like The Strangers, whatever it is, with Liv Tyler. Like that home invasion movie, but instead it's just going to be just like squirrels just walking into your living room staring at you.
Well, I'm like, what are you going to do when you get in here?
Whatever the hell they want.
Squirrels rolling up like, can I borrow your PS5? I want to play Fortnite.
See, and that's why your dog is constantly trying to kill him. See, he knows.
That's what I'm saying. The squirrel doesn't want in here because trust me, if it got in here, it wouldn't be in here for very long. Caden would handle it.
Well, they don't know that. They're not smart. You know, it's like smart. The dude who took out John Wick's dog. He thought it was fine. He could handle it, only to realize he brought up the fucking Baba Yaga and shit.
Exactly. You thought. I guess we should start the show for real. You're listening to Talking Like a Teen, the podcast where we have a tendency to rush back into our past. I am the Dune popcorn bucket.
Oh, fuck you. And I'm the Wolverine popcorn bucket. How about that?
That's right. It's just a couple of sentient popcorn buckets having a podcast.
Oh my God.
How are you, my friend?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm fine. The world is doing the most, but here we are.
This episode is a stark reminder of when we write things down to do episodes, I should probably remember where those lists are. Because every so often we do go back to that list and I'm like, when did we ever say this? Because I could have swore we did this ages ago and wanted to find out we did not.
We were trying to find a thing to record that didn't involve a lot of legwork because a lot's been going on. And so as I am wont to do, I check the Google Drive and I'm like, all right, well, did I prep anything that we just didn't use? And lo and behold, I found a list. Found a list from 2021 about an episode premise that I remember pitching to you. And I thought we did it, and apparently we didn't. And here we are. So we're going to do it now.
And I could have swore that I had already made this list. And knowing me, I'm probably going to find it after the fact because most of my text that I'm using now, I didn't have in 2021. So I kind of had to do this fresh.
If you end up finding it, it'll be interesting to see what the difference is between 2021 you and 2025 you.
So would you like to tell the good people what the list is?
So the title of my list is just 10 movie moments so hype that you black out.
Which is surprising. I know I must have made this list already because I know that's an easy one for me. And the thing was, though, is that I had a bunch of things on the list, only to realize they're all roughly from the same franchise. So I'm like, I can't do that because it's going to come off as like a really bad commercial. So I had to vary it based on other franchises that I've watched entirely too much of.
There's one thing that I have on my list that if you don't have on your list, I don't know if we can continue to be friends.
Oh, no.
So
let's just get into it. Let's just ruin our friendship now. I am wondering, what is that thing on your list that you just mentioned? Because I have a feeling I don't have it, and it's going to kill me that I didn't think about it.
All right, so you're making me do my list out of order, which is fine, because I'm not really in any particular order.
I don't have mine in order either. I didn't even number these joints.
I numbered things because I like an organizational system. But the numbers don't really mean anything. It's mostly just so that I can keep track of my own thoughts. On your left, from Endgame.
That is actually not on my list.
What the fuck, bro?
And this is where I didn't want to get into this, but I figured, you know what? This is a perfect segue. When writing down this list, I had a bunch of options, right? And I realized they're all from Marvel movies. And I tried to pick one moment from the whole fucking franchise. Because there's a lot of moments that did have me crazy hyped. And I know you're gonna kill me for this. That's not one of them. It is, okay, it's one of them, but it's not in my top 10.
That's wild. That's a dog water take.
However, okay, if we're going strictly by, it's not a dog water take. Just hear me out. See, on bull, we just started this hostile, damn, okay? We're coming in hot tonight. Let's go. Because, like, okay, the lion on your left didn't get me as much. If we're talking Avengers Endgame, it's just hearing Sam's voice broken up the first time. And this is perfect writing, perfect just everything. Like Avengers Endgame, while I still prefer Infinity War over that because I love dour endings.
Yeah, because it's the correct take to have.
Right, but it's hearing Anthony Mackie's voice go, it's Sam, broken up the first time. And you go, wait, did I just hear? And then it comes in clear when he's like, when you hear him basically repeat, it's Sam. And that's when I lose it. I didn't even hear the on your left because once I heard his voice, I immediately just started like damn near breaking down. So I missed it. So by the time he's out and like he flies out of the portal, the whole audience is erupting in like a fucking mosh pit. And I'm still like beside myself with the fact that he's here. He's good. Because I'm not going to lie to you, y'all. Like, I don't have to expect these people to live. You know, these are human beings with contracts. That could have been the last time we saw them joints. So, like, I missed the on your left the first time I saw it in theaters.
Okay. All right. I'll allow it because you blacked out early. That's fine. It happens the best of
us. Exactly. So that's the thing. I didn't hear the on your left because I had already blacked out once I heard his voice in the intercom or the comm, whatever the hell, communicator. So that is my take. While maybe still dog water is justified.
Oh, man. The movie theater going experience with that movie is one of those things that I will always remember. Everyone did go apeshit when that happened. Because it's the culmination of so many years of movies and understanding all of these character relationships and all this stuff. And the last movie, you know, everybody got their dick kicked in the dirt and how are we going to fix it? And here we fucking are and all of our friends aren't dead and let's fucking go. And then big intergalactic space battle Wakanda shit happens and it's fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kicks it off.
It was 10 years of movies. And I remember I didn't sit them down like I was going to like, you know, have a heart to heart. But I did say to the kids, like, when we go see this movie, I'm going to be emotional. You have to understand, I was watching these movies before I even knew y'all were a thing. Like, I grew up with this stuff and like, I'm going to be going through it. So like, you're going to have to just deal with that and bear with me. And they were so cool about it because like, I was in there just like in my feelings. But see, my Marvel take, like as far as my top 10 was 2012 Avengers. The Avengers squatting up for the first time during the Battle of New York.
The hero shot?
Yes, the hero shot of the Avengers. I don't care how many times I see that scene. I do not care. They fucking nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
And even before you even get to the hero shot, that one Chitauri that pulls the face mask off and is just screaming bloody murder at them. Honestly, what I should have said, not even just the hero shot. It's immediately what follows Stark being like, call it Captain. And then immediately Captain America goes into like, you know, the battle plan. And it's like, Chris Evans, you motherfucker. Because at this point, we're still like, all right, he was cool in the first movie. You know, he's all right. But we haven't seen him be like really Cap until that scene.
Mm-hmm.
That's Steve Rogers. And he's even doing the point like Steve. And I'm like, this is peak. We have peaked. Me and my cousin specifically, because of course, us two dorks who grew up together. I knew I was hype. I knew Atlas was hype. This man was damn near swinging a shirt over his head. And it was so cool. Comic movies are cool. I don't care what anybody else says. Yeah.
I don't know that anybody's really going to fight with you on that.
Well, now we're all jaded and shitty about a lot of them. And it's like, y'all get some hope and love in your lives. Jesus.
Right? So 2008 Obama and you. Hope and change. Calm down. So, another one of my moments was seeing the Star Wars intro from The Force Awakens, but like specifically the first time you saw it in theaters. Cause, like, remember how the prequels were like a mixed bag? Before all of the discourse with the trilogy and blah, 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 this was just like the first time that we got new Star Wars in like 15 years and you got to see it in theater. And like the fucking Force Awakens trailers were so good and you were so fucking hype. And then that music comes in and you're just like, blackout. At least I did.
Was that the first time you had seen Star Wars in theaters at that point?
No, because they did those like re-releases that happened before the prequels.
Yeah, that was like what, 97, I think they did those.
Yeah. We as a familial unit did not go to the movie theater very often.
Okay.
This was one of the few times that we did as a unit all go and see the OG trilogy in that re-release thing. We did the Phantom Menace in theaters, but we did not do the other two in theaters.
Which no one's gonna blame you there. Though episode 3 in theaters was pretty great.
The day that episode 3 released in theaters, I did go to the movies that night. We went and saw Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy instead.
What?
Because we didn't want to stand in line.
No. Oh, no.
Okay, I'll say it. As far as movie adaptations go, like, I kind of like it. I think it's kind of good. Like, it's not great, but it is a solid, like, B-plus movie. We had a great time. It was just me and my friend and maybe like two other people, but...
Yeah, I'm glad that people like that movie. I don't think I was one of them. And releasing it the same time as episode 3 is like, what are you trying to do?
It felt very much like almost a producer's type move where it's like, let's release our weird sci-fi movie at the same point in time in which the biggest sci-fi franchise in the entire world is releasing this movie that they've been building towards for the last like 8 years or something like that. So yeah, it did feel a little bit like a money laundering thing, but kind of liked it.
But it's funny that you go Force Awakens. I went Last Jedi.
Oh, Last Jedi whips.
Force Awakens was great, but Last Jedi is the time when I went to that theater thinking, oh, this is going to be cool, more Star Wars. Oh, okay. Oh, hell yeah. Okay. I was not expecting half of that movie. So, like, my blackout moment was the fight with Kylo Ren and Rey in, like, Snoke's throne room.
Yes, let's go.
Because at this point, Eileen and I audibly just went, oh, shit. This is something that Star Wars doesn't get to do a lot, is to get this visceral. Mm-hmm. One trooper dude got, like, fucking pulped. Dude just got cut in half. Like, Kylo and Rey are just going apeshit on these people. I don't know. Last Jedi just is great, and that's it. I don't really want to go any further. So what was your next pick? Because I already went, like, we spent the whole day talking about Star Wars the other day, and I'm already done yelling at these idiots.
So, like, some of mine are, like, movie moments, and then some of mine are a lot like the Star Wars thing, where it's, like, the music cue is enough. Mortal Kombat.
Which one? Are you talking about the 1995?
Yes, the 1995. The fucking guy screaming Mortal Kombat. And the music kicks in, and I get so fucking hyped that I black out, and then I come back just in time to see those bad Goro puppet arms, and then I black out again because I've laughed too hard. I love that movie. That's a future episode.
Oh, 1,000,000%. Okay, this is wild. You and I pretty much went to similar franchises, just different moments. You went Mortal Kombat theme. I went the Reptile Liu Kang fight.
Oh, hell yeah. That, see, that also whips ass. I'm here for that.
Because there's something about not even just the fight itself, which is great. It's just the sequence of things. This little lizard thing jumping on Liu Kang, he throwing it into this carcass statue thing, is pulling Reptile into itself. It transforms into a person, and then you hear, like, the actual audio cue, Reptile. That's when I lose my shit. I'm like, yo! And also, Reptile's my favorite character up until that point. And then immediately kicking Liu Kang through a brick, solid brick wall.
Oof.
That's, to me, where I'm like, okay, this is it. We're here. It's never getting this good again. And sure enough, it didn't.
The Mortal Kombat that happened, the Panini one?
Oh, God.
Is that just swept under the rug? We're just pretending that that was not a thing that happened?
No, we're doing the sequel. It's supposed to have come out this year, but now it's being released next May.
Okay.
It got delayed literally like a month or two before it was supposed to come out, and is now a summer release. Carl Urban is Johnny Cage, which I'm kind of here for. The trailer looks fun. But that first movie is a choice.
So, okay, call back to the last episode where I don't go to Arnold movies for plot. I'm also not really looking for a ton of plot in my Mortal Kombat movie. I'm here to basically, like, watch someone else mash buttons for 90 minutes while video game characters on the screen do cool shit.
Right.
And yet, that Panini Mortal Kombat, there was so much plot. We were doing too much and not nearly enough button mashing action scenes. I don't understand. That's why I kind of figured they just shelved the sequel. I'm surprised that the sequel's even a thing. What's a thing on your list?
The Reptile fight was mine. That's the thing. I was like, you got another movie that I had, just different scenes. So it's your go.
Okay. This one I bet you don't have. So we'll diverge a little bit. One of the most underrated Disney animated movies of all time, I will die on this hill, is Rescuers Down Under. By far superior sequel to a really mid Disney movie. In that movie, there is a scene where a kid frees this big golden eagle that's been captured in a trap, And I guess to thank him, the eagle is just like, let's fucking go. Like, whips this kid on his back and takes him for a spin. And they fucking barefoot water ski and he like cliff jumps and he catches him midair. The scene is just like fucking awesome from front to back. It looks cool. The animation looks neat. And the movie whips ass. And Joanna is the best Disney princess. Don't at me.
That's a movie that's just made for the big screen. It's beautifully done.
Facts.
Do I have a Disney movie? Let me see. Okay. I do have a Disney movie, not animated.
Okay.
However, honorable mention, and I'm going to just mention real quick, was I almost put Powerline Concert of a Goofy Movie.
Ooh, that's a good call.
But I took it off because I was like, I didn't want to double up on Disney, and I guess Star Wars was kind of already pushing that. I was trying to keep it like one per, and I guess technically Avengers is also Disney, but whatever, fuck it. It's Marvel.
Yeah.
But what I did put down was locker room scene in D2 The Mighty Ducks. Like the ducks fly together scene.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sap. I love rousing speeches. I love the motivational moments of movies. The whole sequence from the minute they get into the locker room to the moment where they come out in the new uniforms is great. But specifically the part where, you know, Gordon's like, oh, you know, we're not goons, we're not bullies. And like when he's like, you know, I think he points to Portman first, like, who, you know, you. And like, well, who are you? Like, where are you from? And then he's basically just keeps going around and everybody's just kind of repping where they're from. And I don't know what it was about that scene where it's just like, damn, this shit's really cool. So then by the time you get to the ducks fly together, it's like, I don't know, man. As a friendless loser as a kid, I enjoyed moments where the team comes together. And there's just something about that scene where they skate out of the locker room with the new uniforms, which I'm pretty sure is still illegal despite what the movie tried to tell me.
Yeah.
Is one of the coolest fucking things ever.
Movie, you can't airbud this away, but it's fine. I'll allow it. My favorite part of that scene, because it's me, this is it distills down into an essence who I am as a person, is everybody being very serious and being very sweet, and then Cowboy Dwayne just being like, here's some gibberish. And everyone just kind of goes with it.
What does he say? It's like when the rooster starts crowing and the cows run in circles in the pasture.
It's something like that. He's the best.
And it's great character work because one of the first people you see Dwayne interact with is the other person who has crazy puck handling skills, which is Jesse. So, of course, Jesse immediately getting punked upon meeting this kid, which is the moment where I'm like, oh, God, Jesse just got swept by some, like, hillbilly kid? What the fuck? So when it cuts, after he says whatever he says, and it cuts to Jesse being like, what is bro on?
That's future content. Here, I'll give you a chance to talk more about shit that you know more about than I do. Okay, so I have, again, another music-based moment, more so than a movie. So, like, at the beginning of Live and Let Die, like, the first scene happens, and that's a thing that happens, and then the movie kicks into the fucking The Wings song, and I'm just like, I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm like, fucking doing cartwheels and punching air and stuff, and then The Wings song ends, and then I have to watch the rest of Live and Let Die, and the movie is bad. Like, yikesingly bad. But that song whips. It whips in the movie. It's one of the best James Bond themes, and I'm here for it every time that I've seen it on TV.
It goes, like, and Ash is right. It's not a good movie, and yet, it's okay. It's not, it's bad. It is bad.
Yeah.
But it's also weirdly one of the best, because it does something later Roger Moore movies doesn't do, is at least give any sort of sense of danger. By the time we get to Moonraker, Bond is just literally smiling through all of the action sequences when he's just literally looking at the camera and like grinning, being like, ha, y'all are eating this shit up. But at least early on, we're like, okay, damn, Bond is just a dude and he's way out of his element. Because also that movie's great. It's like you put this British secret agent in the middle of Harlem in the early 70s. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's gold.
Is it handled with the most cultural sensitivity? No.
Do not read the book. I'm just telling you that. Do not read the book. If the movie bothered you, the book, you're going to crash out.
I am assuming that you've got a Bond moment on here. Knowing you as I do.
There's so many Bond moments on here that I could have picked. This was tough. This one actually bothered me, and I love and hate that you knew that I had a Bond movie on here.
Mm-hmm.
God, there was a few. Okay, honorable mention, Bond in the remote control car from Tomorrow Never Dies is great. The bungee jumping scene in GoldenEye is also great, but I picked the scene in Skyfall where after him and Bond escape from the courthouse, when he goes into his like garage and he turns on the light, and you just see the Aston Martin DB5 just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the day where I realized, all right, I am a much bigger Bond fan than a lot of other people, but I also struggle with maintaining my excitement because I audibly gasped in theaters because the music swells and you just see the car. And I'm like, oh, because you're not expecting the Bond car
right.
to be what he's going for. You're thinking it's going to be a gun or maybe it's just a safe house. No, it's just the like Aston Martin DB5 from like Goldfinger and Thunderball and a bunch of other Bond movies. And I'm like, I was so pissed because I'm like, y'all, this really get up off your seats, cheer a little bit. Like I'm over here trying to do like crowd work. I'm like, this is the car. Why are you not hype about this? Fuck y'all. I was so pissed. I was so excited. I got so mad. That people looked at me like I was fucked up when I'm like, y'all, do you not understand what this car is?
Right. You're doing the Leo pointing at the screen thing.
Yeah. That shot specifically, because I wasn't expecting it. Like, there's nothing in that movie that leads you to believe that we're going to be doing a callback like this before, like, it became a thing in, like, maybe the later two movies. But yeah, that was my blackout scene because it's a perfect moment and it's played very well. And of course, the exchange that Daniel Craig and Judy Dench have in the car, where of course she's mouthing off to him and he immediately has his thumb over the ejector button. Also, that movie's amazing when you realize that like M is the main Bond girl in that movie. And this theme is actually written from their perspective. Because if you know the plot of that movie and you look at the lyrics, a good chunk of them, especially the chorus, that's them because they're literally making their last stand at Skyfall, like the physical place, the estate.
You just blew my mind a little bit. Sorry.
I'm so stupid, by the way. I'm so sorry. I looked at my notes and it's like the Aston Martin DB5 scene. Instead of saying Skyfall, I said Skyrim.
You could just cut in... fucking hey you, you're finally awake. The beginning of Scott Pilgrim versus the World, when she counts off and the song starts, like the music through the credits, it's so good. And then that movie goes on to be awesome. All of the music in this movie is so fucking good. I can't get over it. And then the movie itself is good. And like, yeah, like Scott Pilgrim's an asshole, but like, that's the point.
Right.
Turns out, nuance. And yeah, it's just a cool movie. Good job, Edgar Wright. Good job, everyone in it. Good job, Nigel Godrich, for making good music. It rules.
You're going to hate me.
Okay.
Other than the music, I don't remember anything about that movie. I'm not sure if I enjoyed it.
It whips. It's good.
I remember really liking the books, so I think by the time I saw the movie, it felt not quite there. I've heard a lot of good things about the animated show that was on Netflix, and I feel like that might have been the move all along.
I watched it before Netflix removed itself from my stuff. It's super good. The animated, it does Brotherhood shit, where it's doing a lot closer to the original source material than the movie.
Oh, nice.
So if that's what you're looking for, I go to that. The movie is different than the books.
By the time that movie happens, I think my cinematic love affair with Michael Cera was dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was because at that point, post Superbad, he's like everywhere. And in my mind, I didn't quite see him as Scott. And weirdly enough, at the time, I was pulling more for Eisenberg.
I feel like I dodged a bullet in this regard because I didn't see Superbad. I still have never seen Superbad. I'm fine really? With it. I'm sure that it's fine. I'm sure that it's great. I'm sure that if I watched it, I would have a good time. It was just not one of those things that I ever felt the need to see. So a lot of the subsequent Michael Cera doing Michael Cera shit that happened kind of from that movie, like it didn't bother me as much because to me, he's still George Michael at that point.
Oh, okay. So yeah, so you're riding off of that. So you were in a much better spot than I was.
Yeah. Because basically I'm like, that's my friend George Michael. And also, I don't remember. I think Juno came first. So I was like, that's my friend from Juno. And then he was in this. And he's been in like bit stuff that I've seen since then. But those are kind of the three things that I know him from. He also did an episode of Top Chef. He was on the Canadian season of Top Chef, which is how I found out that apparently he's Canadian.
I'm going to really have to rewatch that movie, Scott Pilgrim, I mean, say it's been a while. I think I'm probably over most of it, so I should probably rewatch it.
It's one of those movies where the side characters are doing a lot of the heavy lifting. Those performances are so good. Chris Evans, Brie Larson, like, everybody is like fucking dialed in. They absolutely understand exactly what they're supposed to do, and everyone's great. So those scenes end up being almost more enjoyable than just like hanging out with Scott kind of deal. What do you got? You got something?
This one we talked about in a past episode. We did two episodes on this. If you want to hear me gush about that or us really gush about it more, we're going to do it there. But this one, because you said funny car movie, there's one scene that I wanted to put on here, but you hadn't seen Nine yet. So I was like, okay, the ones you had seen, so I don't kind of go on about a thing you hadn't experienced yet. Fast Five, the team up scene, or specifically Brian's line of, we're going to need a team. You know what it is? It's not even just a scene where, of course, you know, we're bringing everybody in. It's the build up to that scene. Because, again, great synergy between good writing and, of course, Brian Tyler's score. Dom being like, oh, we're going to take all Reyes' money. And then Brian's like, oh, you do realize we're going to go up against the most powerful drug lord in all of Rio. It's like, right? And just as the music comes to this like huge build, and then just Brian being like, then we're going to need a team. And then kicks into the music, and then they just go into the whole diatribe. It's so well done because this, like I said in that episode of Fast Five we did, this predates the Avengers by a whole year. So like this gets the whole big team up of everybody from all these separate movies coming together for one big adventure. And it's such a cool thing. It works so well. So yeah, that one was my like blackout moment because every time I see that scene, it's great.
Especially on subsequent viewings, like you're sitting there clapping like a dumb seal because you're like, all my friends are going to be here. Hooray. Mm-hmm.
Almost to the point where the first half of that movie, it just is not as fun as like, where is everybody?
Yeah. When are we going to get to the fireworks factory?
Oh, my God. Speaking of which, we got to talk about Madame Web, but I'll...
Is there a fireworks factory in that movie? I haven't seen it.
No, yes, there is. No, okay. I'm sorry. I'm derailing the show again. I shit you not. They tease a fireworks factory early on because this movie does so much shitty and unnecessary foreshadowing. So there was a part where we meander so long where I, unironically, before even realizing it, literally yelled at the screen, when are we getting to the fireworks factory?
Oh, man. That's... I hate that I love that stuff so much. I hate that that stuff, because it's stupid, but it's funny, that kind of shit works for me.
No, but it's so bad because like Skyscraper does the same thing where everything in that movie, it's like, it's literally just making you look at it being like, oh, this is going to be a thing later. And it's so lazy and stupid. I hate it so much.
But like when they like actively call it out, when the movie is laughing, like I feel like Deadpool is very good at this when like the movie is also kind of actively poking fun at the tropes of that style of movie. When it's done in an intelligent way, that's fun. But I feel like a lot of these movies that you're talking about, it's that's not what's happening. It's just a bad movie.
No, it's like, look at you, look, you big stupid idiot. Here's the thing you got to pay attention to. I'm like, I'm smart. I know how movies work.
I've seen a movie. I know what I'm doing here.
So did you have a funny car movie franchise moment or no?
I don't have a funny car movie on here.
I cry.
It's okay.
No, I'm pretty sad about it.
If I did have a funny car movie on here, it would either be Jump in the Car on the Boat in 2, That scene is very silly, but also like kind of sick. Or jumping the car from the one building to the other building.
Oh, nice. My initial call was going to be from Furious 7, the whole mountain sequence, only because like, if you were to take any scene from a Fast and Furious and be like, what is this movie about? I would show people the mountain scene, like from them jumping out and then that whole sequence by the time they get Ramsey off the bus, because it gives you everything. Obviously, you know, Vin Diesel's calling the shots, you know, Roman's doing a joke, Tej is also being, you know, jokey, but also super capable. Letty's being a smartass. Like, it gives you so much of those, and it gives you perfect car stuff, good character stuff. Brian somehow not dying when fighting against the Thai warrior, which I'll never get. The most like incomprehensibly unrealistic thing in the whole franchise is him fighting against literally Ong Bak himself, Tony Jaa, and somehow like holding his own. Like, I'm sorry, rest in peace, Paul Walker, but ain't no way.
Yeah. Okay, this feels like out of all of the things on this list, I think that 2025 me would agree with all of them. I don't know that I would have put this on here now, but knowing where I was at this point in time and knowing that I had not just seen this movie, but like had much more recently seen this movie, the Just a Girl fight scene in Captain Marvel.
No, that scene still goes though.
Yeah, it does. As far as music cues go, is it a little bit on the nose? Yes, it is very much punching you in the face with the thing that it's trying to convey. But it works for me because, like, again, I was a kid in the 90s. I had that No Doubt album. So, yeah. Out of all of the ones that I've got on here, this is the least hype that I am. But it's still a good scene. It's still a good moment.
I'm trying to think what I have on here. Because a few of them I have left, I can kind of lightning round.
Mm-hmm.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The 1990 movie, aka the best one. One of my favorite hype moments is that last shot before they go back to New York where April and Casey Jones are on the porch.
Mm-hmm.
And it just cuts to them just kind of standing in a line, kind of half silhouette, like just looking real badass, being like, it's time to go back.
It's
and
just, time to go back.
Shredder is going to get his ass whooped. And I just rewatched it recently, and it's amazing how every time I watch that movie and every time I like the older I get, it just gets better. Cause that whole movie you realize that like Splinter is just really trying to like prepare his kids for a time in which he won't be there. And they're just like, whatever, old man, whatever. I'm gonna go to a movie and we're gonna dance while you're trying to teach us something.
Flick lit cigarettes in the face of society.
Yeah. So then when they lose him, it's kind of like they're literally lost. But then once they're at April's farmhouse, and they actually start kind of getting very serious, and all of a sudden, all the stuff that their dad taught him, turns out he was on point for a lot of it. So now they're coming back with the actual conviction of, all right, now we have something to fight for. We're not just knocking over purse snatchers anymore. Like, we're literally fighting for our lives, and it's just such a sick hero moment.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that movie's great. 10 out of 10, no notes.
And then the second one happens.
And Vanilla Ice happens after that. I still like the second one, but it's just like, oh man, we took all the conviction out of these movies.
Uh-huh. The second one, they said, we're going to make a children's movie for children. And that's what they did.
What's your next one?
I guess this is also, like, I guess this is my version of that scene where it's like, this probably means nothing to anyone else, but it's like a weird thing for me. The final concert scene of Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh, that movie rules.
Yeah, because they've been using that song as like the theme of their friendship throughout the whole movie. And they finally play it in the concert and, you know, everything all gets all solved magically during this like 1 4-minute song. And I love that movie. That is also a future episode.
1,000,000%.
1,000,000,000%. We love Josie and the Pussycats in this house.
And even more so than a movie, I listened to that soundtrack religiously when it came out.
It's so good. It's so good. And finding out that, like, the directors of the movie wrote a lot of those songs, and, like, they're movie directors. They're not musicians by any means. They just happen to, like, lyrically put down some very, like, good, catchy, albeit somewhat silly in certain instances, some really good pop songs. Okay, so we got two left each.
All right. So I'm going to save the big one for last, but this one, I don't know how to explain this scene. There's a lot more than just 10, and I don't know if this is a top one, but again, I didn't want to double up on Marvel stuff because one of them would have been the entirety of Black Panther, and honestly, another pick would have been the what I'll refer to as the hallway fight in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which almost made this list, but I took it off.
Okay.
It's super gross, it's super badass, and also it's just one of my favorite songs, and it's played so well in that movie, but I didn't pick it. I picked a weird one from an animated movie I think five people saw. Okay. So I don't know how to explain this scene because it's during like an extended flying sequence. The movie Titan AE, which I know like five people remember, it kind of had the unfortunate thing of coming out around the same time as like Treasure Planet. But there was like this era of like animated movies where they were like half 2D, half 3D, and they all mostly bombed. But Titan AE, that soundtrack needs to be an episode. But it's this extended flying sequence set to It's My Turn to Fly by The Urge.
Nice. St. Louis royalty.
Which I figured you'd enjoy that one because I swear I'm not pandering. But like, it's one of those scenes that I don't know what it is about that song just lyrically and even just how it's used in a movie. It's hype, but it's hype in a different way.
I'm bummed that more of those... I hesitate to use the word steampunk because they weren't all steampunk, but they all kind of felt adjacent to that. I'm sad that more of those animated movies didn't take off. Like, yeah, Treasure Planet's got its fans, especially now. People doing like Disney revisits and shit, especially with Disney Plus. I remember seeing Titan AE and liking it. I just don't remember a ton about it. I remember it looked fucking cool. And that's about it. All right, I've got two left. And we'll do the normal one and we'll save the weird one for last. It's just Welcome to Jurassic Park. I love those movies. Like, I get it, especially the newer ones are kind of bad or like really bad. Thanks, Chris Pratt. But like the original Jurassic Park movie is just like the perfect movie. It's a perfect movie. There's nothing wrong with it. And you can't say that there is because I'll fight you.
But I think we're still at a part where universally, and maybe some of that's you have to be there, where now we're in a place where effects like that are commonplace. But in 1993, seeing that movie was just like, again, and it's one of those where I wish I could see it again for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's literally everything.
Like, my notes say... Yeah, I know you see some dinos kind of before that, and you know shit's going to go tits up, and she's pooping her pants about the dumb leaf, and he's losing his shit about a brontosaurus or whatever, and the score swells, and you see a herd of them, Attenborough says the line, and you just want to punch a helicopter with your whole heart. That's what it feels like every time I see that scene.
Freaking open mic eagle, like you're just hella big and about to punch a helicopter.
I guess so, with my heart, because I'm having feelings about a dinosaur movie with dinosaurs in it. Fucking love Jurassic Park.
Because you know what it was? It's peak Spielberg. Because dude's like, here's the majesty of dinosaurs, but here's how they're fucking dangerous and they will murder you at a moment's notice. Don't even think any different.
I don't have anything intelligent to say. I just love that movie so much.
Honorable mention, the teaser trailer for The Lost World Jurassic Park might be the best trailers I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that, again, it's kind of a Suicide Squad of a situation because, like, that trailer whips. And the movie is definitely not as bad as Suicide Squad.
Oh, hold up, hold up. I know, wait a minute. Are we doing Lost World is bad discourse? Hold up, I will not know.
I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's very good.
I highly disagree. I feel like it's misunderstood. Because like a lot of people thought like Jaws 2 is like an inferior sequel to 1. It's amazing just differently. I don't know. But granted, that's a whole other episode. The T-Rex taking out the fucking bus when they get back to the mainland. It's fucking peak.
Jurassic Park, man. Just put dinosaurs in movies. I'm here for it. Put dinosaurs in movies that Chris Pratt is also not in.
I'm sorry. Those movies would... If you took Chris Pratt out, those movies still suck.
That's true.
Even Vincent D'Onofrio couldn't say that shit. His whole story arc is, what if we put the dinosaurs in Afghanistan? Like, what are we doing? That was his whole storyline.
fucking Dr. Evil ass with laser beams on their ass. Oh, also, what he's asking, like, he's asking not enough money for weaponized dinosaurs. Because it's like, he's asking, like, what, like, 70K per dinosaur? Like,
yeah, that's not.
That's not enough money.
Do you remember that episode of Aqua Teen where they find, like, that t-shirt from supposedly from ancient Egypt that has all the powers?
Yes.
So the quote that Shake has, but basically, to me, Chris Pratt's role in that whole movie to modify that, my favorite line from that is like, those are my dinosaurs and you are not abusing them properly. Is literally the plot of that movie.
And like, okay, like Jen and I went and saw the new one with ScarJo. And like, it's fine. It's a serviceable movie. Again, there's dinosaurs in a movie. I'm on board. I'm here for it. We're doing that thing that annoys me where we have to kind of like solve some of the problems from previous movies in this movie where it's like, we're spending a lot of time like paying attention to the fact that ScarJo is dressed appropriately for the adventure she's about to have instead of Bryce Dallas Howard in her heels. I'm just like, I get it. You guys got a lot of shit for this. Now we're fixing it. You're making a point, whatever, blah. I don't care. Like, fucking feed the heels to the dinosaurs. I don't give a shit. Can we not with this? I just hate that shit. Disney spent more than half a decade doing that shit with every live action remake. We had to go back and fix discourse about animated movies that were 50 years old. Fucking gag me the spoon, move it.
The aggressive overcorrection thing just, it never works well. Do better or whatever the next time, but have to go retroactively changing that. Like, it just, I don't know. It's this weird revisionist shit.
Yeah. It's petty, but like not in a fun way. Again, water signs be water sign, and I'm here for petty. But it's just like childish. I don't like it. Anyway, you have one more thing on your list.
I think I might have two, but one of them is The Matrix. One of my favorite lines that I just reference all the time. You know, that exchange where Trinity tells Neo right before they go back in to see Morpheus. It's like, no one's ever done this before. And to which Neo's like, that's why it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And if that isn't a quote for like so many things, I don't know. I just love it to death because I feel like it's such a great badass mission statement in the good hero moment. So that one I'm going to gloss over real quick. So my last one that I kind of saved for last, and I was going to try my best not to get hyper emotional about it. My other favorite big franchise, Lord of the Rings, trying to find a moment is tough, but I nailed it down to Gandalf arriving at Helm's Deep in the Two Towers.
Okay.
That scene is why we have movies. That's why we go to the movies versus watching it at home. Yeah, I'm going to get really shitty and poke fun at an old friend who constantly said to me, why do we need to go to the movies? We can watch it at home. That scene of Gandalf and Rohirrim all on horseback running down the hill at an entire, like, unfathomably large army of Uruk-hai with the sun behind them. Like, that wide shot of them coming down that mountain, it's like, this is why movies exist. This is why we do this. Because that scene, yes, you can watch it at home, and I'm sure you could, but it's like you don't get that just amazing wide shot or that perspective of just how, like, massive this army is. The Helm's Deep sequence in general is just this great mission statement, and I feel like if there was ever a time to watch these movies, it'd be now. Because, like, you know, you spend so much of that battle where, like, Theoden's like, it's hopeless. We're going to die. And Aragorn be like, bro, these are your people. You have little, like, children taking up swords fighting for you. You can't tell them that. And meanwhile, they're fighting more orcs. They're blowing up the wall. Like, they're trying to shore up the door. And meanwhile, the orcs are, like, jabbing spears through, stabbing their men as they're actively dying, trying to hold the door. Dude's on the other side, like, give up. It's over. Aragorn again, mad. Like, bro, what the fuck? Lock the fuck in. Your men are dying defending this place. Like, are you going to stand with them or are you going to sit here and be a bitch about it? Get your shit together. Fight. And especially now where we're doing heavy doomerism shit. And I get it. Some days you're Theoden, some days you're Aragorn. But that line of, at the break of dawn, like, look to the east, and Aragorn looks up and you're like, oh shit, it's light out. You made it, dude. Ride out with me. Like, let's meet them head on. And he finally gets his shit together and he gets on his horse and he finally rides out. And then Gimli blows the horn and they look at the over the horizon, and there's Gandalf with the army. They were just waiting out to so that way they can come down. It's just, honestly, it's everything that makes The Lord of the Rings wonderful. It's perfect. It's a perfect distillation of so much of what makes that series great and just overall mission statement and just filmmaking in general. It's just one of those hype, like, we have a real shot at this until the end of the movie. And of course, you know, you see the last shot of Mordor being like, ah, yeah, we're cooked. But for a split second, we had hope. But yeah, that was my last hype moment. I mean, there's a bajillion more, but that's the last on my list. Yeah.
I have not seen a second of any of those movies.
Wait, you're like, really?
Yeah, like for real.
Now, was that just you weren't interested or you just an opportunity never presented? Because I will come with the extended editions.
Those movies came out at a point in time in which our movie stamina was not as strong as it is now. All of those movies, I kind of blew off because I'm like, man, I'm not sitting in the movie theater for 3 hours. That's too many hours. Not knowing that, again, in the next decade, like Marvel would teach me that that's fine, actually. It's cool, whatever, who cares? I bet now, like, I could sit through them and because I'm a giant dork, they would become a disgusting part of my personality. So I guess roll through if you want.
Woo-hoo, USA, USA, USA.
My last one's weird in that it's very different than everything else kind of on my list. It's the end of Kill Bill Volume 1. The last fight scene between the bride and Oren Ishii. So like, okay, it's been a minute. The movie's like, been 8 years old. So like, as she's kind of fighting through the restaurant, she deals with the front of house staff. And then the crazy 88 scene happens and it's all loud. And there's lots of music and it's fun and lots of action and gore and gross stuff. And she's gone through this gauntlet and she finally hits Oren. And everything just kind of falls away. They're out in that yard, that really pretty yard space, and the snow is falling, and the only sounds that you're really hearing are like the sounds of the swords clanking against each other and that like water pipe thing that probably has a name that I can't think of what it's called. Everything is just like stripped away and you're just like focused in on this fucking cool fight scene. And sometimes the best moments are not the moments that are the loudest and the most bombastic, but these quiet moments of just like this super intense thing where you're like, these are two very equally matched fighters doing cool shit. Who's going to win? Then she cuts her head off. It's like converting a power play. Like you just like punch the air and you're just like, fucking she did it. Oh! It rules. It turns out Tarantino, the guy can make a film.
That shit goes, man. I don't care. Like, those movies are so great.
They're so great. I haven't watched them in a while. I was supposed to do V for Vendetta today, the 5th of November. But I think that might end up being a 6th of November thing because we have bedtimes around here.
Or you can stay up and be a badass.
We'll see. We got bedtimes around here. But yeah, I'm definitely overdue for Kill Bill rewatch as well.
Now I gotta figure out which editions of Lord of the Rings should I show you. I should be an absolute sicko and show you the extended editions.
Oh my god. It's like 12 hours of movie.
Okay, but we don't have to do them all in the one sitting.
Okay, good.
I mean, I will and I can, but like, no, because honestly though, knowing you, I don't think you'll have too much of an issue getting through them. And I think they're paced pretty well enough, but like, if you're gonna see the movie, you might as well see like the whole movie as intended.
Snyder cut ass.
No, but this one's good. It didn't like, you know, almost bankrupt an entire studio.
There are people. There are Snyder cut people. That's all I'll say on that because I am not informed enough. Deep Dark Secret. I kind of liked Sucker Punch. It's not great. Like, okay. I fully acknowledge that, like, as far as a feminist masterpiece, like, this ain't it.
Oh, I was just thinking it was just boring as shit. It's like one extended cut of, like, Tattoos, All the Things She Said music video.
But there's different songs. Okay, the soundtrack does kind of go. And yes, the action scenes are just music videos. And I think that's it. Like, those are the parts where I'm like, this is kind of sick, actually. when it's just ladies whipping ass to fucking White Rabbit, like, I'm here for that. Or the Bjork Army of One, I'm here for that.
But they had already done that in Tank Girl, like, almost 20 years before. Like, what are we doing?
I also have a lot of time and love in my heart for Tank Girl. Would you like to tell the nice people where they can find us online and we can get the hickety heck out of here?
TLATpodcast.com. You can find all of our past episodes. TLAT Podcast is also the handle for Blue Sky and Instagram. Hit us up on social media. We're also on YouTube. Just look up Talking Like a Teen Podcast. We have an email, TLATpodcast@gmail.com. Please hit us up. Let us know how you like the episodes. Also, are you a Snyder Cut sicko? Don't hurt us, please. I swear we come in peace.
Joke's on y'all. I didn't see the other cut either.
I did, and I started the movie, and the kid is like, what are you watching? Justice League. And he got up and walked out of the room, and I haven't seen him again for the rest of that evening. And he made the right call, because it is not good.
Oh, man. Kid said, no thanks.
Kids are smarter than us most times.
They do be saying that the children are our future, so.
Oh, man. Well, do you have any advice for the sickos at home?
Don't get swallowed by a whale unless there's 4 mutated turtles in it eating pizza. And then ask if you can have a slice.